And we can feel it. I know you can. I can. We all can, I suppose. It is the Hagmann Report for today. It's Tuesday. Don't forget, folks, it's Tuesday. It might feel like a Monday because of the holiday yesterday, but it's Tuesday, May 27, 2025. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your patience, your stick-to-itiveness with this platform. As you know, we've been going through a lot of bumps, a lot of speed bumps, and a lot of flack and a lot of things, and to that extent, I'm so glad to have back with me Randy Taylor. And in honor of his appearance, now I have to apologize. I don't know who sent this to me some time ago, but really, I want to show you something that represents Randy Taylor and myself. Okay, and I drink out of this this cup, and every time I do, I think about Randy Taylor and others. Now, there's writing on both sides of this cup. It's the same. So I'm going to show you the Eric so kindly, because once in a while, children will come into this studio. So I'm going to show you the side that he somewhat edited. But this is a cup, and forgive me for not knowing who sent this to me, not recalling it offhand. But here is the cup, and I don't know how many people can read that, but this is the motto, the mantra of both Randy Taylor and myself. The top part reads, "I ain't dead yet." And then in gold lettering is the coup de grace of that statement. So, cheers. There you go. So we have a good show lined up for you. Where are we talking really about the war against our constitutional republic and the war that we're in? But we're going to talk to you about it from the perspective of two investigators, two credentialed, experienced investigators. And I did not play this for Randy Taylor, and then I'm going to bring him on. I didn't play this for him, but there's a video clip that goes back and it talks about the infiltration in our government. And I know for a fact that on one, perhaps two, but I definitely know for a fact on one of these cases, Randy Taylor actually was responsible for the capture or the capture, detention, and the imprisonment of one of these individuals. I'm not going to say which one, because you know there's enough death threats already, so we don't need to add more to that. But anyway, that's coming up as well. The crux is going to be our discussion about the mechanics of really everything that's gone on, the assassination attempts and such, because that's what we do. That's what we investigate. Randy Taylor, thank you so much. You're looking great. It's great to have you. Come on. I mean,
look at this man. It's fantastic to be here. I feel great. Making a lot of progress, health wise. I'll have a new foot and ankle. Prosthetic here in the next 30 to 45 days.
Okay.
It's been a hell of a time fighting with the insurance company and all. I just have to tell you. It's unbelievable. The fight you have to have for something that you think that they would want. It's cool if you want a sex change operation.
Oh yeah.
No problem. A little much. And the amount that they grant was unbelievable. But, you know, just to be complete, you know, and to be able to walk again. And they just fight with you over everything. A wheelchair, they fight with you.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. And all you're trying to do, I'm not trying to be extravagant. I just want to be whole. That's all.
You know, And I know everybody in people in chat, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us live tonight in chat. And for those people listening tomorrow or whenever or watching whenever, thanks. But you're exactly right. And I, you know, until you are in that position, I don't think, and I know people that are joining us tonight, the majority have been in the position that you're in, I'm in. Something happens, you know, you go for treatment and then the bills roll in and you think, wow, that's not covered, or, you know.
Even when it says that it's covered.
Exactly.
That's the killer of it. And no one, they want to try and keep the actual policy very obscure.
Yeah.
You try and find it on the website. They don't issue a booklet anymore.
That's the other thing. You're right.
It's crazy, though. It used to be, boom, you had a booklet. Everything was cool. But I'll tell you what, since Barack Hussein Obama decided to get into the medical business, the industry has been trashed. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, that long-legged monkey has screwed it up for everybody. All right? And the only people that benefited from his crap, okay, were the people that were on welfare and ghetto dwellers, and I'm just telling you, okay. And then it was like 16 million people. Well, they can't get coverage. They can't get coverage. Yep. And then he screws it up for everybody. I was a business owner, you know, 15 years ago, yep. right before he did this, and my guys were paying. I was paying every month. I mean, the balls out insurance coverage, $198 a month. Okay.
How much?
$198.
Okay.
A month per man.
Per person, right.
Per employee. United, right. Healthcare. I mean, you couldn't get a better insurance policy. I had the best for my guys. I always did. And I had the same thing myself.
Yep. Now add a zero to that today.
Oh, yeah. They're over $1,100 if they wanted the same coverage. And that was like by 2010, the price had jumped 10 times, not 10 times, five times. Because I stayed in contact with my employees and all, and some of them opened their own businesses after I left. And right. I was just stunned at what he did. And then he turned around and those 16 million still couldn't afford healthcare. So what do you do? They subsidized it.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just subsidize it to begin with and leave it alone?
Because sometimes it'd be too easy. I mean,
I pray I never meet him in person. I know the Secret Service just heard that, but I pray I never meet him in person because I would just absolutely slap him upside his head.
Well, deservedly so.
Yeah, and the man went into something he knew nothing about. He didn't even let the legislative houses read it.
Right.
If you want to know what's in it, sign it. What kind of legislation is that? And look what he did. Look what he did. Americans are far worse today. I know all kinds of Americans that don't even have health insurance because they can't afford it. Before, at least, they could afford it.
Yes. And what we're seeing is really a...
And then you pay for it. You're paying for it. And now they don't want to pay out.
Right. And it's
unbelievable.
It represents 25-28% of our economy, the insurance. And what is taking place now since Obamacare. And think too about what could have happened with, remember, Hillary Care back in the 90s? Had that taken up? Whoa.
Another golden nugget. Unbelievable what that man did. They you know what? He is responsible. And they're screaming right now because they hate Trump's big, beautiful bill, claiming that he's knocking people off of this and that. Trump could never do the damage that Barack Hussein Obama did to the medical health care system in the United States when he decided to get involved in it. I remember the fiasco with the website. Literally billions spent on the website. How do you spend $1 billion on a website? I used to have a commerce site, and I did millions of dollars a year on that site. And it sure didn't cost me $1 billion to build it. And it was more functional than what Obama had. I just, you know, everybody goes after Trump, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
When you weigh him against previous presidents and the atrocities that they committed on the American dime.
Don't you think, though, because this will lead, I think, into what the theme of today's program is, and that's, you know, that's upending this our constitutional republic. Look, all of this was by design, I think.
Yes, sir. Know? You're absolutely right.
Of course, the perks, like the website not, you know, crashing and not and burning and not working, those maybe not planned, but certainly welcomed.
But just the concept of what he did to healthcare was definitely planned.
Yeah.
And it was part of the government. Listen, as soon as the government gets their hands into healthcare, they've got a grip on you that's hard to break.
Yes. Yes.
They want to go after the healthcare. And then the other thing you want to keep them away from is your food supply.
Well, you know, that's a little bit too late over the weekend, I think. Over the weekend, I did some shopping, and I was amazed to see when you look at meats, where they come from, or what they're doing to the food supply right now is criminal. Mm-hmm. I believe, and has been crazy. It's nothing new, but I think they've doubled down. And people, I was also showing my wife yesterday. I said, you know, look at the skies and tell me that as a young person, you know, playing outside when you were a little girl, that you remember which, you know, the types of clouds that you're seeing right now. And people refuse to even talk about that, and they refuse to even talk about it. I mean,
I grew up in a sky that you had the beautiful cumulus clouds.
Yeah,
they were beautiful, puff.
Yep,
puff. Now, and you never saw it as a kid. You can have all four types of clouds in the same sky, and it happens a lot. Yep. And when I was a kid, you never saw that all four. If you did, you had a major storm coming. Now it's commonplace, and it's like nobody seems to even care anymore.
That's or you know, Dane Wigington, Geoengineering Watch, folks. If you really want to know about geoengineering, Dane Wigington is the man. We've had him on the program several times, and we'll get him back on. But I'm telling you right now, we are being poisoned from above. We're being poisoned in many other ways. But what was good, of course, what we saw recently here is Robert Kennedy really outperforming. You know, he did not overpromise and so far underdeliver. Certainly he is delivering, getting rid of a lot of the poisons, questioning the reasons behind the true vaccines for children. So, but isn't it interesting, Randy, and then you can take it, but isn't it interesting that the people are more upset that they're upset at the exposure as opposed to the benefits from the exposure and the changes? It's just, what is wrong with people today? You know, go ahead.
Don't know. I don't know. I think that, I don't know. Sometimes I don't think they want to know. It's what it seems like to me. Like some people they get on an information overload, and you know, and if people start talking, and it's almost like you couldn't write a Hollywood script, you know, to match it. But, and you start talking about it to people, and they'll just turn on and just walk away. You're like, wow, you know, do you really not care? And they're more like, I'm hearing more and more as people are like, well, you know, my kids will deal with it. But yeah, they're going to deal with it if they live long enough. You know, and that's just a very cavalier attitude when you talk about your children. I find that irresponsible.
The assault on the fact that we would allow our children to, Yeah. And on your screen, folks, and from InfoWars, RFK Jr. announces COVID-19 shot removed from the CDC schedule for kids and pregnant women. You might say, well, why isn't it removed completely? Hey, in this case, I do understand the baby steps, considering the amount of money right now that's going into the hands of every elected official, from governors to Congress critters.
Yeah. And he wants to make any removals a little more acceptable to the public. So, you know, rather than have that sticker shock of totally removing something,
yeah,
you know, and then there's the people that, you know, it's just such a horrible subject. And they're saying even vaccines for animals, a lot of those are unnecessary and killing the animals. You know, our dogs used to live 16, 18 years. Now they die in 8 to 10.
I will never, my dog, my dogs, plural, never. Yeah, you know, I've declined the shots. Well, even back when Lady was a youngster, no, you know, and I don't give them worm medicine or tick medicine. And do you know something? Neither one of my dogs have ever had a flea or a tick. And we watch them close. We screen them close. So there's a lot going on, but it's life. Mm-hmm. But certainly we are glad to see you. And
it's good to be here. It's definitely good to be here.
I'm checking the chat as I can, and a lot of people are just saying, you know, welcome back, and it's good to see you, and you're looking great.
We've gotten a lot of emails. Thank you, folks, for the emails. Got a lot of cards. Thank you. I won't name names on the air, but you know who you are, and thank you. I have one lady. It's a couple, actually, and they always, every holiday, it doesn't matter what it is, I get a card from them, and that always touches me. I love you guys for it. Thank you.
And that's something that you cannot build up by numbers. It's by interpersonal relationships, you know. I often wonder, you have a million so-called followers or subscribers. Does that really mean anything? No. You know, no.
Right. You have a handful, care if you live or die.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Seriously.
There
you go. Yeah. But we got some good people, a lot of people that are faithful in the chat. I have gotten some emails about some bullies in the chat, bullies that are in there. You need to knock it off.
You
really should. Everybody's adults here.
Yeah.
And there's really just no need for it. And when you start picking at the ladies, a lot of them will just walk away. And that's not what we want. That's not what we're after. And ladies, hang in there. Okay. And you can thumbs down these people almost into oblivion. And if it gets horrible, Doug will step in. He hates to, but if somebody
freedom
gets
of speech,
right?
Right. But for example, I know my frailties and how, like, what I suck at, including talking and stuff. I get that. So you can pick on me all day long. I don't care. Just don't pick on each other. That's all.
No. Leave the ladies be.
Yeah, there you go.
We got a bunch of good gals in there. We really do.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And we love everybody. We're grateful that you're there.
Yeah.
You're grateful on a 9. Look, check it out. It's after 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And you're here, and you're here with us. That says volumes. That speaks volumes.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and we stuck together. We've been sticking together for a long time. And I think it's fantastic. And look, everybody's having tough times. I know right now with the tariffs and this and that and the uncertainties. I get that.
Yeah.
You know, but please continue to support the program. Support this platform.
That's right.
And pray for Doug. Okay, with his health, please.
Oh, look who's talking.
I'm actually feeling better. After the amputation, a lot of things changed as far as my health.
Yeah.
I got the poison out of my body. I had an infected foot for 4 years. I was taking antibiotics just to keep it in my foot, basically. So when I amputated the foot, I got the poison out of my body. And that's why I feel a whole lot better.
And, you know, today, as opposed to 50 years ago, 40 years ago, today what can be done is so much further advanced. So I'm grateful that you've got some, good things coming up. And again,
I remember before the amputation, I was concerned. And then I thought, geez, I've seen Civil War pictures.
Yeah.
Where they were amputating legs on the battlefield. I'm cool.
Yeah, at least they give you a little bit of a relief factor there, you know.
I had a great surgeon. I had a great surgeon, and God guided his hands. He did a beautiful job. Everybody comments on that. Any doctors that look at it, they're like, he really did a good job on this.
That's good. So, yeah, and you know, it's rough to look. Admittedly, it's rough to deal with. And folks, if you're waiting for content, this is content because, you know, we go through our own individual trials. Randy Taylor's been through the friggin' mill, I got to tell you, in a lot of ways. So I admire his just getting up and saying, you know what, this is not going to let me down. This is not going to keep me down. You know,
you got to keep fighting. They told my wife three times in the last 5 years, make funeral arrangements for me.
Yeah.
I'm still there.
It's hard to hear. And again, you know, I salute you, my friend, with,
I love that cup. That's awesome.
I salute you. And again, to the person who sent this to me, forgive me for not, for not recalling your name, but
it's well used.
Thank you.
Yeah. We had a good show tonight. We had a good stuff to talk about.
Well, yeah, and I like to start out with this. Okay, now, as people know, Randy, in case there are some that don't know, Randy Taylor and I met quite a while ago, brought together through the events of 9/11, and Randy Taylor, an operational asset for the intelligence agencies on the good side against the bad people who are trying to attack from within our country. Okay, now, he's done a lot of great work, but today we're faced with the same threat from within, but even worse, because now you've got full-blown communists invited by the leftists, by the Democrats, by the communists in power for as many years as we've known each other. And so now it's a multifaceted fight. So, when we were asked to investigate certain aspects of the Butler attempted assassination of President Trump, or the attempted assassination of President Trump and Butler, we were not surprised, but we were able to connect some dots and see some things that tell us that the threat, number one, is still active. You've seen that. You're tired of me telling that. But also, perhaps you're wondering, okay, really, who's involved? And I'm going to tell you, Randy Taylor and I are going to be talking about that. But first, to kind of a background, I want to introduce this video clip. It's just over 4 minutes, but it's four very important minutes. And speaking of four, this is cut four. This will provide you with insight into what that man, Randy Taylor, what that man has done, has accomplished behind the scenes, and frankly, what we are doing behind the scenes and bringing some of the results to you in front of the scenes, or however you want to describe it. But this is a really important 4 minutes. And this is cut four in the show notes. Folks, in case you forgot or don't know, go to Hagmann PI, two ends on Hagmann, HagmannPI.com. And generally, there was an exception, I think last week or so, the week before, when the Rumble was glitchy. So, it didn't pull the video up front. So I apologize for that. But HagmannPI.com, and click on the title for the show. and then it'll open, and all of these clips will be there. Anything we don't offer tonight, but we had on tap, will be there as well. But this is cut four. And again, keep in mind this. One, if not two, one, I absolutely guarantee you, Randy Taylor is responsible for. The second one, if he's not directly, certainly at the periphery of bringing, there's two that he brought down, one directly, one at the periphery. But this is what we're fighting today. We've been fighting, and it's important to listen to this and watch this. This is cut four. Here it is.
Because yesterday, and I'm shocked more people aren't talking about this, dual citizen of Lebanon and America, who openly identified as Palestinian, went into the Air National Guard to, according to the indictment, to get military weapons training. He was just charged with 9 counts related to terrorism yesterday. Now, he had already been charged with detonating pipe bombs targeting Jewish facilities. But now, in this superseding indictment, it turns out he lied about his loyalty to the United States. He's being charged with false statements in an attempt to obtain a top secret security clearance, among other things. Keep in mind, this is a U.S. service member that was, in fact, granted a security clearance review. He lied through 3 separate interviews before they caught him, all the while openly supporting and expressing support for Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Hamas. Look, here, page 4 of his indictment. Hamad, his name, he told others that despite joining the Air Force, he was still more loyal to Palestine and Lebanon than the United States. On his social media, he posted multiple times things like this. Quote, been toting that case since I was a boy, pictures of him as a kid, don't play with me. He also said, all right, y'all say a prayer with me. Inshallah, one day each bullet in this kisses the foreheads of the Zionist oppressor, Amin, which is Amen. This guy was a terrorist, enlisted in our military with a pending security clearance and access to weapons. This is a real problem that's been around for a while, and it's not being addressed. I hope Pete Hegseth is on it after this. But I'm just going to come out and say it, because our intel community has, and our military and all of politics, has basically been so wrung out on DEI training that they're afraid to even suggest anyone with radical Muslim views might actually carry out action on radical Muslim views. Now, going back to the 90s, Ali Muhammad, the former U.S. Army sergeant, pled guilty in 2000 to conspiracy charges related to al-Qaeda's 1998 U.S. embassy bombing in Africa. Semi Osman, U.S. Army convicted in 2002 on terrorism charges for hosting a terrorist training camp on his own property shortly after converting to Islam. Jeffrey Battle, U.S. Army Reserves, convicted in 2003 while trying to join al-Qaeda. Hassan Abu Jihad, U.S. Navy, converted to Islam in 1995, was charged in 2002 and convicted in 2008 with leaking classified information to al-Qaeda. Bryant Vinnis, U.S. Army, for a few weeks. After converting to Islam in 2004, he provided detailed information about New York's train system in an attempt to facilitate terrorist attacks. He pled guilty in 2009. You remember Fort Hood? Major Hassan? That guy killed 12 soldiers, 1 civilian, and an unborn child, injuring 32 more on a military base. His motives were driven by radical Islam. He's currently on death row, thank God. The FBI actually knew he had communicated with Anwar al-Awlaki, a Yemen-based al-Qaeda cleric, before the shooting, too. And yet, after that, even after that, Obama, on multiple occasions, refused to acknowledge radical Islam.
There's no magic to the phrase radical Islam. It's a political talking point. There's not been a moment in my 7.5 years as president where we have not been able to pursue a strategy because we didn't use the label radical Islam.
But even after a U.S. Army major murdered fellow soldiers, we still didn't root out this problem. Paul Rockwood, 2010, U.S. Navy, who converted to Islam in 2001, created a hit list of U.S. targets for assassinations and bombings after attending an Islamic center in Virginia. Tons of examples here. Cole Bridges ended up pleading guilty for terrorism. Ethan Melzer gave information to al-Qaeda affiliates about troop locations and movements in Afghanistan. Remember this guy, Shamshud Dinjabar, Army? He was the one who just drove a vehicle through the New Orleans Mardi Gras party and had an ISIS flag. And now we see this stuff yesterday. I list all these names because there's a fact pattern here. But anytime.
So there it is. There's a fact pattern of infiltration. And RT, I suspect you.
These guys are the ones you go in and lure out.
Yeah.
You go in, you go into the password protected or forums. You hunt them down. You find them. You start conversing with them. And of course, you've got to go through proving who you are, which I was a leader of a small. My identity was a leader of a small group operating in Iraq, a Sunni group.
Right.
So I was able to be very elusive with that. It worked. My credentials checked out. I had an address in Yemen. I mean,
One Yemen Road, Yemen.
Basically, and you want to know, and it was so simple. All I did was grab the address of a hotel that I knew was a transient hotel in Yemen. And I was able to use that address multiple times. And I always checked out, you know, so, but you go in and you lure these people out. Of course, I don't go meet them. Someone else meets them and you bag them. But so
that 4 minutes and that was well worth it. One of those people was a trophy on the wall of Randy Taylor.
Yeah. There's some names you recognize in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just saying.
And okay. I was set up where I never had to testify. All I have to do is appear in front of a judge. Judge verify who I am.
Yeah.
And I never have to show my face in court.
So for the people out there who, you know, say, well, you're just a couple of morons, you know, talking and or you're all talk, no action.
I got really insulted there around January 6th when people were accusing us of being the bad guys, you know, that we were somehow working with the feds. No, we weren't. There was a time that, yeah, I worked with federal agencies. Yeah,
yeah,
I certainly did. I worked with some damn good people. But when Barack Hussein Obama came into power, I departed. I cut all affiliations everywhere.
And I have to say, folks, it was dramatic.
It was a shakeup, believe me.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I followed suit because if that man says, you know, man says we can't do it.
No, we didn't know who was who anymore.
Exactly.
When people start talking about putting me in jail because my information was so good and I was in so deep that they said, well, if he knows that, he must be one of them.
Right.
And when people start talking like that at the DOJ, it's time to pull up your tent stakes and get the hell out of there. And, you know, plus I just had a baby girl. I wasn't going to play that game. I wasn't even going to play that game. And I got so pissed off that somebody would even question me. Would question my career. Oh, man, was I livid. And the people that knew me were livid. You want to know why? And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I was the best they had at what I did in this nation.
Yes.
They changed policy to accommodate me.
Which a lot of, and the folks, this is important because it speaks to what's going on today. What they did to that man is absurd and obscene.
And not just me, Doug, so many people, guys, that still aren't showing up.
Yeah.
You know, the guys I know that I can't even find. I mean, they were friends and they just disappeared. They had to disappear. They had to go under and they have to stay under because things are so shaky. Even now with Trump in office, things are so shaky because everybody's trying to overturn this man.
What are your thoughts about that? Because, again, this represents the enemy within. Go ahead.
We're in a very dangerous area. The enemy is within. Same type of enemy. They want to do damage from the inside. And the problem is they got credentials and they got access. And that's a problem. That's a serious problem. And don't think for one second that Donald Trump's on a cakewalk. He's being fought on every place he turns. They're just coming at it a little different angle than they did in the first presidency. Donald Trump really needs to put some people in. He needs to put some people in jail. And the people, and I'm going to say people that tried to overturn his presidency the first time around, because that message needs to get out there. If you're going to play these games and flat out lie and try and overthrow a president, your little stinking ass needs to be in jail. You think January 6th, all the crap that everybody said about the January 6ers, I'm sorry, yeah. That's what applies in this situation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And I'll be damned if, you know, you can't sit around and just watch this. And that goes back to this whole Butler thing. That's why we're going to talk about that tonight. Because for some reason, somebody's just decided to wash it under the carpet. That just put it on the shelf. That's all I'm done. Hey, stick it up there next to the Warren Commission. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, put it right there. There's room. We did a little bit of room there. You can get that book in there.
And, you know, I was thinking about this today in anticipation of us talking about this. You know, that attempt in Florida by that Ryan Ruth, that was almost political stagecraft to take away.
Thank you.
In my view, from really Butler. Yes.
As a distraction, because they're going back to the lone gunman. They're trying to pump this lone gunman thing up our butt.
Yeah.
Okay. And that deal in Florida, I don't even count that as an assassination attempt. I really don't.
No.
I can't in my mind even say that's what that was. That was what you just said. Political stagecraft. That was a dog and pony show.
And the deeper that we get, I mean, look, you're going to find out, oh, you know, ties to Ukraine, obviously ties to all these politicians. Again, it looks good to the uninitiated, but then when you start digging, wait a second. Okay. You know, how well can you create this,
illusion?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the magic. The magic's going on down here, but they've got you looking up here.
Yeah, there you go. So okay, and this is something that we have to, I think that we all have to really be aware of. One of the things too, and this might seem like an outlier of an incident, but I just wonder how many people remember back in October of 2023. You know, the Biden regime, but more appropriately, the Obama and the IC or the intelligence community have done a lot to destroy us from within. How many people remember October of 2023? FDA armed. Did you know armed members of the FDA? They arrested a Chinese national, Xiaobi Zhu. Outside of a secret chemical laboratory where Zhu was operating in Reedy, California. This is like a mini Wuhan, a cross between Breaking Bad and the Wuhan lab in Reedy, California, next to a very large U.S. military base. I'm looking down here at my notes. There were like 800 or just a ton of biological viruses, biological agents found at this lab. And this is communist Chinese infiltration into the U.S. But this actually, when you start digging into that, you'll find, for example, that this man was blessed by, not directly, but indirectly blessed by Gavin Newsom and Hillary Clinton. And as a matter of fact, people associated with this man, this Chinese man who ran this biolab, wanted to or were supporting both Newsom as well as Hillary Clinton back in the early days when Hillary Clinton was running against President Trump, as well as Newsom in his gubernatorial designs. So the reason I brought this in is because, yes, we do have outside infiltration, like RT was talking about and like we played, but we also have something a little bit more insidious. And this leads me to RT. This leads me to this video. I'm just going to play this, or I'm just going to hit this. This is not new. This is Tulsi Gabbard. And if you want to know who's behind the, who ultimately, where does this Butler assassination attempt lead to? Here are a couple of names that I feel comfortable in saying, and I think Randy would agree with me, saying that what is talked about here applies to Butler, because Butler was really the outline, the template, or the outline for Butler was created before President Trump back in 2015 reached the bottom of that escalator. But who among the people are at the controlling end of things? Here's video two. It's not about Butler, but pay attention nonetheless. Here's Tulsi Gabbard on a couple of people that you should really keep your eyes on, that we know about, but okay. But think about this. But think about it in terms of killing our president and our constitutional republic. Here's cut two.
The mob that stormed the Capitol on January 6th to try to stop Congress from carrying out its constitutional responsibilities were behaving like domestic enemies of our country. But let's be clear. The John Brennans, Adam Schiffs, and the oligarchs in big tech who are trying to undermine our constitutionally protected rights and turn our country into a police state with KGB-style surveillance are also domestic enemies, and much more powerful and therefore dangerous than the mob that stormed the Capitol. Now, John Brennan said,
"So I know looking forward that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength, and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians."
Now, President Biden, I call upon you and all members of Congress from both parties to denounce these efforts by the likes of Brennan and others to take away our civil liberties that are endowed to us by our Creator and guaranteed in our Constitution. If you don't stand up to these people now, then our country will be in great peril.
Aside from the first utterances regarding January 6th,
and I'll give her credit that there were people on January 6th whose intent was foul, whose intent was evil. So I'm going to let her categorize that under that group. There was a small percentage of Antifa members there, and I don't give a damn what anybody says. And if you want to argue with me about it, that's fine. We can argue about it till the cows come home. Okay. There were antagonists there. There were professionals there that were paid to be there and cause problems.
Yes.
And at any time that you have a half a million people in one place, there's always going to be a few characters. Yep. But there were people that were dispatched there, and this was planned to make that entire January 6th into the shit show that they tried to turn it into. I don't know how else, and what plainer English to tell you that in, but there were bad guys there. And unfortunately, they were the first ones that went in, and the others followed.
They were inside the Capitol before anyone else.
And maybe our people should have used a little better judgment, okay? But you know what? The way things were going, I understand, but nobody went. Ashley Babbitt didn't deserve to get shot.
No.
There was no level of violence anywhere that day that would require the use of a firearm in the face.
I'm telling you. No.
I don't give a damn. That cop needs to be charged.
And I've heard rumblings that they're working on making some, charging some people, okay, including possibly that police officer.
That would be good, because he was wrong.
Yeah.
I'd done enough security details and enough personal safety that I can tell you that individual was wrong.
100%. And the other aspect of this, which I think that we are going to get to the bottom of, in spite of the current leadership in the FBI and the Secret Service, the other thing we're going to get to the bottom of is let's talk about the pipe bombs, for example.
Yeah. They just brought that up. I saw that today. They're going back to look at that.
Okay.
So they say.
So when you look at, and a lot of people don't even remember or recall or even know about the pipe bombs at the RNC DNC on January 6th, but those pipe bombs matched pretty much the schematics of the FBI pipe bombs in their training practices. Now, the training, of course, less the components to make them go boom. But these, on the other hand, reportedly, obviously, I didn't handle them, so I don't know.
They just, when they're training, they're just as a phony blasting cap. But in real life, it's a real blasting cap.
And the ones set at the RNC and DNC were reportedly viable. Again, I cannot verify that, but let's, based on everything that you and I have heard, let's go with that. So when you've got these two pipe bombs at the RNC DNC on January 6th, you've got Kamala Harris supposed to be at the Capitol, wasn't there, and was at the DNC. Then you've got the Secret Service and Capitol Police those two in particular, not protecting their protectee on the 6th of January. What does that have to do with Butler? Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with Butler. Ask to see the evidence, the explosives being handled or that were part of Crooks, Thomas Matthew Crooks, that were in those ammunition containers, and match those to the January 6th pipe bombs, to the FBI training pipe bombs. Gee, you think they'll match? Mm-hmm. They will. How does that happen? RT, how does that happen?
That's pretty damn scary when you think about what you just said.
Yeah.
When you think about what you just said and the implications of that. This Crooks was not alone.
And that's just it. He wasn't alone.
And I saw a post from Doug on Twitter, on X, stating that, because Bongino made a comment about he's seen all the briefings. He's had all the briefings. I don't know what they're briefing you on, sir.
Thank you. What the hell do you make of that?
I mean, I don't know how you can sit here and tell two guys that obviously can tell their butts from holes in the ground, you know, that you try and convince us that kid operated alone. He did not. He did not. That young man was exactly what you call a patsy. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on Crooks.
Okay, please.
Okay, because that young man, when you study this, okay, and you study Crooks, this is a kid, is a geek. This is a kid that was pretty much an outcast, except in his small little groups. And somewhere along the line, he fell in with some people that he looked up to. They made him feel important. important enough that they went to the gun range with him many, 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 many times.
Well, 43 in 14 months.
That's quite a few.
Yeah.
And that kid, you can tell, and there's a video out there. There's a video I saw the day that this happened where that kid says, I hate Republicans. I hate Trump. And you know what? They got the wrong guy. And I'm going to tell you right now, that kid, because look at the way he infiltrated security, supposedly infiltrated. Nah, he was walked in. He was told where to be, where to go, what to do. And he was getting on that roof. And the way he was hopping around that roof, he was supposed to be a distraction, so he thought. That young man thought he was going home that night. You want to know why? Because the people that talked him into getting on that roof gave him that false assurance that he would go home that night.
Think about that.
I want you to stop and 100% think about
behind that.
What I just said.
Yep.
I want you to think long and hard about that. And when you look at it from that angle and what I just told you, it spells out who was involved. I don't have to get into details. I just told you everything.
You know,
when it comes to psychology and things like that, I got a little bit of experience. Doug's got a little bit of experience. We understand some of the stuff. We're also great studiers of history. And I've also worked around these people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that kid thought he was going home. And he was laughing about it. If anybody was going to get hurt, it was going to be the other team.
What that sinking?
There were two teams that day. One was Matthew Crooks, a lone gunman. Perfect. A kid that was an outcast. Yep. A kid that met somebody. And I'll tell you where I'm going to go as far as to say, I think he met him at his high school. And when Doug and I went and visited the school, what we saw there when we rolled into the parking lot would open that door right up as to who he might have met at that high school and who he looked up to. You know why they paid attention to him? They said, hey, kid, why don't you hang out with us? Yeah, you're good. You're cool. Yeah, come on. Come on. We're going to teach you how to be really good. You like weapons? We're going to show you how to be really good with weapons. Come on, go to the range with us.
Yeah. On June 22nd of, I believe it was 2023. I'm looking at my notes here. On June 22nd of 2023, Thomas Matthew Crooks registered for an intermediate handgun pistol class at the Keystone Shooting Center. And that's where the grooming in earnest began.
Yep. The pickup, the contact was made. He was perfect because if you're going to do somebody, use somebody like that, the first thing you do is isolate them.
Yes.
That's the first thing you do. Everybody knows that trade craft. I know that trade craft. Doug knows that trade craft. This kid, fortunately, was already kind of an isolationist.
Look at the pictures of his mom and dad, his family, of his house.
He was easy pickings.
Yeah.
Somebody paid attention to him. Somebody said, hey, you could be like us. You can hang out with us. And we're painting a picture that's really obvious. We're telling you who it is.
Yep.
And you know what? We know you're out there.
And I'll go so far as to say, we know now you are listening and downloading these programs.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about this.
We know you're out there.
Yeah.
Your day is coming. You're not going to kill our president. You are not going to kill our president.
Neither one.
We're just going to find out. We're going to find out who all is involved with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I are not going to go to our graves without telling everything we know. And even should it be premature, or demise premature, other people have this information. So don't think you're going to get away with it. And you know,
I'm not sure what's going on with the government not coming and taking you down, and why they're sticking with this lone gunman theory. Because there's more than enough evidence that this could be presented. There is so much circumstantial. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable, and that's why we're so shocked that the FBI and Justice is blowing this off. So then I wonder, okay, well, who's advising them?
Which was my question. I mean, do you think, with the evidence that we presented, I know that we did our job. The evidence we presented, Randy, do you think that, I know indictments could be issued based on everything that we provided. Why do you think they haven't been to this point?
Somebody has shut the door, and this could go all the way. You know, I'm looking at a bunch of people, all the way to the person that was in charge of the investigation, the legislator. I mean, we have to look at everybody.
Yeah, especially those people.
Because those are the ones that sit at the top and go, no, 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 no. When you go back and you look at the Warren Commission.
There you go. Go ahead.
Okay, when you just sit down and you look at the Warren Commission, you know, this is the testimony that we'll look at. This is the testimony we'll discard. This is evidence that we'll accept. This is evidence that we'll discard. And that's what we have going here. It's like they handpick to make the evidence fit the case as opposed to the opposite. We're seeing, and I'm not comfortable with any of this.
No, 100%.
And I don't know how anybody, if I only had two videos from that day, two. One is the kid talking that I described to you. And the other one is when I got two snipers on the roof, engaged. Pick up, move, and engage. You help me with that. They weren't bird hunting.
What, 100%, but what bothers me as well, to your point, again, got to check my notes because I want to be accurate. You know how people throw out, well, he was known for 90 minutes before President Trump took the stage, right? No. That's wrong. We can verify based on our investigation that he was known. Let me give you the exact time here. He was known as a potential threat at 3:35 that afternoon. So that's 2.5 hours. It's not an hour and a half. It's quite a bit longer. And when I look at the 90 minute people, people knew he was a threat for 90 minutes. Some will even shorten that, but no. He was identified at 3:35 when he arrived at the rally site with his rifle and the explosives in his vehicle. And he was waved into, it was facilitated. I mean, that whole thing was facilitated. His
almost like entry. Removing barriers on January 6th.
That's it.
And opening the gate.
Yeah.
The kid was let in.
Yes.
Okay. And I want you to stat that right there. We just answered your question to who? We just answered your question.
Yeah. What? You want my response?
Yes, sir. Please elaborate. This pisses me off, Doug. This entire thing pisses me off.
Rephrase that, because I've got something in my mind based on what you just said that I think we could jump to. But go ahead and rephrase what you just said, if you don't mind.
As far as who?
as far as we just answered your question?
Yes, we did just answer your question. Think about it.
As far as who, right?
Waved in, yes. Stop and okay. Think about that.
All right. So, okay.
I don't think the Hooters girls were in the parking lot that day. So they didn't wave them in.
No, but they could have been there when that task force was there when you and I were there.
Well,
they
could have been there. Well, there's that, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that there wasn't a problem that day you and I were there.
Well, there was, but it wasn't a big problem. It was just a nuisance problem that we had to deal with.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be a showdown in that parking lot.
Yeah. And what Randy Taylor is talking about, because I want to be very clear on this. Subsequent to that assassination attempt and our involvement, we were there at the scene, but more importantly elsewhere, but at the scene a number of times. And each time we picked up a Fed tail or a Fed and or county or local law enforcement interest. In our presence, we were there on the day the task force was being led around like a bunch of stooges by people who had no interest in bringing anyone to holding anyone to account. In fact, some of the people there, I believe, were part of the planning part of this. When you have, and I'll add this, we. As a unit, Randy Taylor, myself, and our team submitted or offered to submit at one point, what I would call valuable evidence, not proof, but evidence to the task force. And we were told to stick it in our asses, basically. Why? Why? It's not a search for the truth. Okay, so when you look at the task force and everyone extolling, you know, oh man, this, they're going to, no, in hell no. That's not what they're there for. That's the field. Those are the legs of this Warren Commission. So, hey, the Corey Miller, whoever was there, you know, these conservative legislators, right? Bullshit.
Yep. Yep. That was a dog and pony show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it was pointless them being there because nothing was going to be resolved from that. Nothing was going to be drawn from it. Yep. It was, and the most obvious evidence is overlooked. It's not even being paid attention to. And there's all kinds of video footage from that day.
Yes, and we have a crap load of it.
Anything that showed up anywhere related to that day, we've grabbed.
Yep.
And when you go back through it and you look and you look and you look and you look, one, there was more than one shooter, and two, I am convinced that kid thought he was going home that night.
100%.
That he was being used as a decoy only.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever they told him, I do believe elements of the MK Ultra program, and people might roll their eyes, I don't care, but there are elements of the MK Ultra program back in the day when it was first started.
It's and still revealed, used, Doug.
It's still used, it's, exactly.
It's still being used. People that disregard it are washing away history. Yes. This is documented. You don't have to have a special theater and this and that and the other. This can be done sitting in cars.
Yeah.
This can be done taking people to lunch. This can be done on a hunting trip. It's mind control, but it's certain steps, certain methods. MK Ultra doesn't mean you have to have a giant theater and evil scientists standing around. All that's already been done.
That's right.
Okay, this is tradecraft. This is tradecraft. And then when you got a gullible kid like that, they murdered that kid.
You know, you're correct on that. Okay. This was a setup for his death. When you've got handlers, and we both although you don't like the word handler, and I agree with you 100%, but as operational assets, working with the feds, and I remember back in the day being an operational asset in the field where they would send me in wired up, you know, sometimes I had to go back and have the wire retaped, you know, for whatever reason. But I remember going into a situation where the wire that they ran was actually, and back in the day, believe me, well, it's not like today.
It couldn't take sweat.
Yeah. And I still have a burn on my arm, an actual burn on my arm, like a cigarette, looks like a cigarette burn, from where a wire shorted. And man, oh, but nonetheless, okay, you've got this situation, I believe, where you mentioned murder. That was the intent, I believe, of his handlers, was to make sure that
two people were supposed to die that day.
Yes.
President Trump and Matthew Crooks.
Exactly.
Two people were supposed to die that day.
And you're 100% right. And we can make, if we were called to testify, I guarantee you both Randy Taylor and myself, Eric the Tech as well, could make
the whole team for that.
The whole
matter.
Team, yeah.
Because it's just an incredible evidence, especially with the geofencing. And then the one that came up, and everybody's like, oh, no, that's just a misnomer. And then when we sit here and start examining everything else, you start to wonder, was it really?
Exactly.
No, that may be the key.
There you go.
But because of technological things, and that's why some people say, okay, well, you're going to get that weird random hit. Why would it be that particular hit?
Ooh, why not at a JCPenney's in Iowa?
Thank you. Why not exactly? Or a Burger King somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Why was it that? That will not go away, Doug.
Yeah, and we're talking about the presence that the FBI.
Thank you. I wasn't going to say it, but yeah. FBI office.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there's a number of things going on here. Let me back up and get your reaction to this. There was a recent, now we've talked about this before. You and I have on air. I have independently, I think. This is not new to people, but this is kind of new, this thread, in the manner in which they did. I think we might have played something from Body Language from Rumble, but this is kind of different. This is, on the show notes. Let me look here on the show notes. This is video 7. It's actually a thread on X with videos. Analyzing the body language of Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. And the poster on this is Jesus Enrique Rosas, okay, the body language guy. That's who posted this. And I saw this, and it's been up. Let's see, when was this posted? It was, my goodness, a week ago anyway. But there's 5 parts to this. And Eric, there it is. Thank you, Eric the Tech. So Dan Bongino and Kash Patel under fire in this, showing this or showing this thread, under fire after giving these answers about Trump's assassination attempt, the investigations. Writes this person, I find it baffling that Kash Patel says, two of the investigations are obviously closed because the individuals are dead.
Individuals, plural.
Individuals, right. Well, there was, yes, yes, but don't read too much into that. However, he writes, who else could have cooperated with them? This is a nonsensical affirmation, and he spoke without breaking a sweat. He also did a subtle eyebrow flash to connect with the interviewer emotionally. But then, and you can follow along with this, if you can play this 24-second first video, Eric the Tech, I don't know if you can do that. Let's go ahead and roll with this, and let's kind of follow this thread as this is being presented. So go ahead.
How come we don't have more information on the assassination attempts on President Trump?
There's two reasons to open ongoing prosecutions. So two of the investigations are obviously closed because the individuals are dead. But there's two live prosecutions. And so we can't get ahead of the federal court case.
How come we don't have.
So. To
what? I'm not saying two to our advantage and what we're right. saying. I'm just curious that he said two individuals are dead because I don't know who they are. I know one of them is dead.
And therein lies kind of Maria Bartiromo did not ask any further questions about that because you and I have questions,
yeah.
right? I
mean, yeah, she could have really pinned his ears back on that one.
Okay, yeah, since they're closed because the individuals are dead. Oh, do tell.
Yeah. Sure, please.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, again, this is the body language, and it's important because both of us having been pretty well versed in cases where we had to rely on stuff like this, and we've been taught through whether it's the Reed interview and interrogation courses or whatever the FBI behavioral analysis,
just trial and error.
As well as that.
People. Yeah, I'm in the field talking to people.
Okay.
You know when you're being lied to.
Absolutely. And it's so important to be able to distinguish that. Like you said, when you're in the field, there are tells. And now, of course, you know, people will say, well, you don't know the baseline of the individuals, but there are certain tells that you can pick up, and you'll see this. So in the second... As shown there in the second video clip, let me just make sure I got this. This is 22 seconds long. Here is Kash Patel. Now, again, think about where he came from. He came from, in part, he wrote the book Government Gangsters. He named people. He was under fire for, you know, being outspoken against the people. But yet, what? What the hell happened here? So, Enrique Rosas, the body language, okay, that's the source here, points a few things out. Here's this next clip.
A lot of that information will come out in the federal court cases, but we have personally invested our time in making sure that we have looked at all the any possible international connections to terrorism and adversaries alike. And we've both been down to Quantico. We've both done the laboratory testing. We've both seen the explosives analysis. We've both seen the firearm and physically held it. We are all in on these investigations. A lot of that.
So. Writes this body, the body language. He looks in Bongino's direction twice, then uses his eyes, opening them a bit more, also for emphasis. Who the hell is he trying to convince about this? Himself? Us?
That's what I'm thinking, himself.
Yeah.
He's not convincing us. It's just for them to say that crooks operate alone. I'm sorry. From a professional standpoint. It is unprofessional.
Exactly. Now I think, and when people are attempting to lie or deceive or point elsewhere, there's a period of attempted rehabilitation, attempting to correct oneself or to get back on track, knowing that you just screwed up, okay, or said something that maybe just didn't pass the smell test. So this next clip, this would be 3 of 5, writes this author on X. This is hands down the worst part. Are we going to be surprised at what you learned? He's questioned, and we get sighs, pressed lips, head shaking, nervous smiles, and a tongue click. Way too many emotional markers. And there it is, right there, emotional markers, when they could have just said the investigations were ongoing. A lot of people their downfall is trying to give too much information.
Yeah, trying to talk their way out of it almost. You know? It's like you're better off just shutting up.
So this is only a 15-second clip, but watch. Okay, so watch Bongino. Cash is not kidding. It's not reassuring. Nobody has asked or implied that Patel or Bongino are kidding or not taking this seriously. It's sort of a deflection slash blaming, implying something that hasn't happened. So you've got to kind of really appreciate what's going on here. And for a few seconds, Bongino keeps his eyes down, something unusual for his body language. And anyone who's watched his program knows that he doesn't do this. So we've already established a baseline, really, with both of these, as well as this body language post here. But watch this, because just watch this. Watch their body language. It's important. 15 seconds. Here it is.
Are we going to be surprised at what you learned?
You know what, Maria? Cash is not kidding. We've been personally briefed extensively on every single detail, nugget, tendril of this case.
Are we going to be surprised?
Yeah, play that one more time and watch his eyes. Watch his direction of gaze and listen to his words at the same time and ask yourself, does he even believe what he's saying, or is this some sort of a deflection? Go ahead, run it one more time.
What you learned?
You know what, Maria? Cash is not kidding. We've been personally briefed extensively on every single detail, nugget, tendril of this case.
Are we going to be...
So, for the listeners, they could not see necessarily the text overlay of the various emotional markers that we see up pressing there, for example, nodding, and there's a number of different visual cues. Randy, what do you think of?
It's almost the one where they won't look you in the eye when you ask them if they're a cop. Did I remind you of that? When you ask a cop and they want to convince you that they're not, but you know they are.
Yeah,
they just don't quite make the glance with you.
So, yes. And so all of to me, there's something, and I've said this before, there's something wrong, and I think it's illustrated here. And I think, let's see here, there's a couple more. Yeah, there's two more clips. Pay attention to the next two. Notice that Bongino looks twice to his right. Mm-hmm. He's measuring his words very carefully, but then he says this: I am not going to tell people what they want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. And again, who's he appealing to? Obviously, it's... and notice that he references people as in separated as a third entity, which that has a lot of... We could probably spend an hour talking about just that concept that concept alone, but just watch this. And Randy, the other thing too, when he says, because we're going to tell you that separated third entity the truth, it's very... very different would have been to say, I think people deserve the truth and I'm going to give it to them. But when you separate this, it's different. It's different in a lot of ways. It's important to really understand, I think, what this whole thing represents. This is a 17-second clip. And pay attention if you're watching this or in the chat, watching this live or on X or wherever you might be. Pay attention to the text overlays. Go ahead.
One is actively in court right now, so out of respect for the case, it's probably more appropriate that I stay quiet on that. However, I'm not going to tell people what they want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth, and whether you like it or not is up to you. If there was a big explosive there, right? One is...
Go ahead. Run it one more time.
actively in court right now. So out of respect for the case, it's probably more appropriate that I stay quiet on that. However, I'm not going to tell people what they want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. And whether you like it or not is up to you. If there was a big explosive there, right?
So Randy Taylor, notice how he switches to people to you. Okay, an important distinction. Because we have hours upon hours upon hours of baseline of that man, Dan Bongino, talking to his audience. That baseline has been established. And you compare it to this, something a little bit different. Your thoughts?
No, definitely different. I don't know why they've chosen the road that they've chosen on this. I don't know if they want maybe they want the bad guys to feel safe. I don't know what's going on here. But this just doesn't match up with what we have.
No,
none of this does.
And what you just said about the bad guys, okay, who are the bad guys? We're not talking necessarily low level at this point. We're talking about the people who created the operation, right, ran the operation,
who conceived this to begin.
There you go.
This takes some real balls to conceive.
Yeah.
And like Doug said, this decision was made the day he came down that elevator. Yep. I almost think it was almost like, how dare this man intrude into politics?
And we see it every day.
That's what they're trying to dismantle him every day. Yep. And I mean, this goes back to some of his fiercest political competitors.
Very well stated.
I think that we could find them in this circle. I think that they are aware of it. They were aware of what was going on in Butler that day.
Yep.
Even if they didn't have a hand in planning it, they were aware of it. And that makes you guilty.
Yes, kind of like the driver of a car from a bank robbery where the guard was killed. You're still responsible for that murder. You know, you can still be charged with murder.
And you can go back, I think, and look at people that caused him other problems in his first presidency.
Yes.
And I think you're just going to find some of the same names.
Oh, yes, you will. Okay. Now, this last one, again, from the body language guy. Okay, Bongino references his expertise. Now, look, it's not that big of a deal, and I'm paraphrasing the thread here. That's not a big deal, okay? But there are problems associated with that, because when you cannot sell or when you cannot present, think of testifying in court. When you lack the ability to provide the facts for a cogent argument, what do you rely on? You rely on your expertise. Well, you know, and written in this X thread is, he's not trying to support his argument against his ex, or it me. Okay, I'm sorry.
Expertise,
not a big deal.
And experience.
Right, right. Okay. So notice that this is not, in capital letters, reputation, but expertise. That's a difference. That's like saying, look, I'm the expert here. How does that sound to you? Convincing? It's kind of like, hey, I am science. You know, where have we heard this before? Again, same, kind of the same template. So this is why I find this fascinating. And RT, it builds our case for us. Okay. Or at least it's, if you don't think this is important, at least it's anecdotally relevant at the very least. So this is this last piece, this last cut from this interview, same interview. Watch this, because I think out of all of these clips, this is the most important and the most telling. So we can talk, Randy, on the other side, but go ahead and play the fifth and final clip of this thread. It's 25 seconds. Watch the overlays.
Given my history as a Secret Service agent and my personal friendship as the director does with the president, give me one logical, sensible reason we would not have. If you can think of one, there isn't. There isn't. There, in some of these cases, the there you're looking for is not there. And I know people, I get it. I understand. It's not there. If it was there, we would have told you. Given my
Randy, thoughts? I mean, yeah, should we?
He's basing it on what was briefed to him, what was presented to him, rather than actually getting in there and investigating it. We can sit back all day long and take briefings. Guess what? This is all spoon-fed. Every bit of this is spoon-fed. This is like the Warren Commission. It was spoon-fed what they wanted the final report to be. That's not investigative work.
I remember this, you and
everything,
us.
Everything was a lie about that, Doug. Even the newspapers that reported things about Crooks, where he worked and where he hung out and all that, we were there a day and we were, it was bullshit.
Which you proved.
On the very first stop.
Yeah.
The first stop.
Yeah.
I walked in and talked to the business owner, and it was nothing like the story that was told in the newspaper. Nothing like it. And that's when we right away we're like, wait a minute. And then you think, how much of this was spoon-fed to the press?
Pretty much all of it.
You know what I'm saying? Because as we checked on things, they didn't check out. The people never said that. That never occurred. And they had no reason to lie to me. I didn't go in there and present myself as an investigator. I went and ordered chicken wings. Happened to be a nice young lady who happened to be the owner of the business that I spoke with. And we spoke extensively over an order of chicken wings. Ooh. I was just a curious guy. I read about you in the paper. And she's like, no, that's true.
One of the best interviews. I mean, you could do a master class on that exchange.
No, I remember when I came out and told you in the car, we were both sitting there scratching our heads going, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
The first stop.
The
first stop.
Amazing.
And don't ever, let me tell you something, when you're riding with Doug and he says, somebody's following us, we picked up a tail. Exactly right, we picked up a tail. I glanced in the mirrors. I didn't see Jack. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? We picked up a tail. This guy's sharp. Well, let me tell you, if you're going to run with somebody, that's the guy to run with because he spotted them before I did, and I'm usually really good at that. And he outdid me that day.
Even the blind chipmunks or squirrels gets a nut once in a while, but the antagonism and the overall events that took place that we looked at, folks. Just okay, we have to form the base, I believe, for the understanding of what. How big this is, which brings me to one more here, because I do want to get this in, and I really want people to understand, for example, who is behind this. This is cut three. This is James O'Keefe. Now, this originated back in 2015, 2016. Again, like him or don't like him, it doesn't matter. Listen to the information from James O'Keefe. Why is this relevant? Because again, we're looking at the people behind the people who are moving the chess pieces. And to me, although this does not relate to the topic at hand, this brings in the people who are moving, in our belief, the chess pieces, some of the people who are moving the chess pieces, but not limited to these people, but certainly focused on these two. Here's cut three.
The first of the intelligence community's surveillance targets appeared to be a former Defense Intelligence Agency, that's DIA head, and would-be Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Another target was staffer George Papadopoulos. In 2018, HPSCI, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, released a 243-page report clearing Trump of allegations that he and his team colluded with Russia to interfere with the 2016 election. However, sources close to the House Permanent Select Committee, led by Adam Schiff, covertly continued working out of a small room in Langley, and he had access to raw logs and communications from agencies like the CIA and the National Security Council.
Okay, so...
I've seen that face one too many times.
Yeah. Now, you want to talk about Adam Schiff doing things. Adam Schiff, if you look at his California connections, and then you bring him to D.C., and you look at what has gone on with Schiff, he becomes a person of interest in a lot of things, including the attempt to remove President Trump. And, of course, J6 and all that. We get that, but it goes beyond that. It goes far beyond that. And one more little tidbit, and folks, you can connect the dots, and then we'll talk. You remember this auto pen stuff, right, folks?
Yeah.
You think
the preemptive pardons.
The pardons, right. Now, things in D.C., don't happen in a vacuum. You remember, folks, I don't know how many remember Jack Anderson's column, Washington Merry-Go-Round. Again, you might have thought that, like him or don't like Jack Anderson back in the day, it doesn't matter. The information that he was provided, much or sometimes it wasn't accurate, but other times it was right on accurate. Understanding how this works, the auto pen issue speaks to who really was in charge of making certain decisions. There were three people that have been identified as operating the auto pen. There were more, but three primary individuals: Ron Klain, Anita Dunn, and Bob Bauer. When you look at the latter two, Anita Dunn and Bob Bauer, consider the power to, I would say, to call the shots with respect to Anita Dunn, really a communist, and Bob Bauer, her husband. So if you're in that position to be able to control an auto pen, you also have connections to the people we mentioned and the infiltration in this country by ideologically driven bad people, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But here's a clip that does relate to the topic, but not directly, but... Here's cut six, and then we'll tie all this together. Cut six.
Hey, the president, if you were with us on the morning meeting, you saw talked at length at two stops before he went into the meeting with the House conference, talked to the media, and he talked a lot about this issue of the auto pen. All presidents use auto pen, but there seems to be a sense in the Trump administration that Joe Biden, and this is something Ed, I think, is working on, that Joe Biden used the auto, or people used the auto pen to sign things on Joe Biden's behalf, including pardons that may be not legally, constitutionally permissible if it wasn't actually the president and it was some robot or whatever you call the auto pen. So here's number three. This is a Truth Social post from the president about this topic. And again, he talked about it at length this morning. Joe Biden was not for open borders. He never talked about open borders where criminals of all kinds are blah, 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 go through the process. It was the people that knew he was cognitively impaired and took that, and that took over the auto pen. They stole the presidency of the United States and put us in great danger. This is treason at the highest level. So, Ed, where did this start, this notion that the auto pen was improperly used? And what evidence have you seen for the president's accusation?
Well, I'll make a little news for you, Mark, here. I was in the office as U.S. attorney for about 5 days when I wrote to a number of senior Biden officials in the White House saying, what did you know about Joe Biden's competence and the pardons? And I got some responses. And so I've been looking at this for a while. Again, I think that the question is more about competence. If you have someone who's not competent, they can't enter into a contract, right? And if you do enter into a contract, you've committed fraud. The question is whether you use a tool to trick people into entering into a fraud. So the Biden pardons are unprecedented. The ones right before Christmas that he did, people forget this. I think it's a couple thousand pardons that were done. Did he know about that? Did he really understand? Look, the pardon power is plenary, but the guy has to be competent to do it. Now you come forward to this question broadly of the auto pen. Auto pen's completely obviously legal if you're competent. And there must be a trail that shows who was in charge of the auto pen. I know this exists. Like, I worked for a governor. We had a system for an auto pen to be able to use it. And so right now we have unprecedented conduct, the pardons, unprecedented admissions, the books as well as the staffers. I had a whistleblower in my office 10 days ago, senior Democrat, saying, look, it was these three people that controlled access and they were making money off of it. I don't know if I believe it yet, but the point is, I think we have to get to the bottom of it for the
auto pen speaks to the power, not necessarily. I mean, it speaks to the wide range of authority. And who's calling the shots? You know, you see members of the intelligence community supposedly meeting with Biden. They weren't meeting with Biden. They were meeting with Anita Dunn, Bob Bauer, Ron Klain.
I think every one of those pardons should be challenged.
That too, yes, 100%.
Absolutely.
And really, everything signed with an auto pen, including the Supreme Court nomination, should be challenged. Mm-hmm. This is how broad this is, and you know, none of this would have come out had President Trump not made it out of Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Just saying. And he wasn't expected to.
And they're coming at President Trump from every side. They're coming at him with these activist judges. They're coming at him with the Democrats.
Yep.
They're coming at him for his life. It's a rehash of his first presidency, coming from different angles, and now you have the assassination attempts added in here. And that's not done. They're going to try and kill the man. And people have to understand that. This network, some of the lower level players may deactivate, but the network, the people that are making the decisions, the people that hatch these kind of plots, that sit around sipping brandy, smoking cigars and think they're untouchable, those people are still there.
You know,
they're going to use different soldiers.
You're 100% accurate. They're still there. They're still gunning for him.
It should keep people awake at night.
And I hope it does.
And to close those investigations, I hope that's a farce. I hope that's a ploy. You know, to embolden these people into doing something stupid.
Well, the only thing I can come up with, if we were to believe these people, Patel and Bongino, it would be they're trying to thread a very fine needle. Okay. I don't think that they can possibly believe what they're saying, or they're incredibly naive getting briefed by people, because you and I sat in the offices of this platform and we discussed things and we were briefed. But you know something? If something didn't feel right, sound right, we went out. Because you're not going to find answers behind a desk, generally.
Yeah, and driving back and forth and being down there and everything. We talked constantly. We batted ideas around. We did this, that. You have to. But you know, I still stand firm that the kid was not by himself. That he was lured into this. That he thought he was going home that day. And one of these days, I want to play that clip that I said the thing about. I just want people to just watch it twice.
you know, I hate Republicans. I hate Trump. And you know what? They got the wrong guy. I just want you to look in his eyes when he said that. He thought he was going home that night. He was laughing about it. This was funny to him because the people that were handling him made it appear that way. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, man. You think you're going to do this, and this is all worked out. I'm telling you.
What, you know what? I'd like to, because you're here and you're so gracious, Randy Taylor, folks, Hagmann Report. I'm telling you, RT at HagmannPI.com if you want to talk or get in touch with them directly.
I want to hear from you.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do at this point, because of the gracious people in our chat, if you have any questions about what we're talking about, these days, lawfare is rampant. So you've got to kind of read between the lines. If you think we're talking around the subject, obviously we can't say, you know, I accuse you. Okay. But you can kind of get the general idea. So I'd like to, any questions from the people in the chat who are joining us on Rumble, the Rumble chat, any questions by the chatsters there?
And we wouldn't show all our cards until it was irrefutable anyway.
That's true.
That's just plain and simple. It would be foolish to do so. And this, as far as I'm concerned, Doug, it's an ongoing investigation. They may have closed it in Washington, but we haven't.
No, we haven't. And you know something? I know. While we're waiting for the questions, I just want to show you one last thing. You know, in history, I just find history fascinating. Remember during the Cold War? Now, there's only three scenarios, by the way, too, about what happened in Butler. Number one, it was the official narrative of a lone gunman. Number two, it was a state, foreign nation state sponsored hit, which is ridiculous. And number three, there was something else, people on the, it was an inside job, basically. Those are the only three possibilities. But, I find this very interesting because this is where President Trump, I believe, is at even today. Go back to this 20-second clip. I don't know how many people remember this. Many people probably weren't even alive, but I know, Randy, that you remember this. There was a meeting between Brezhnev and Nixon during the Cold War where both had champagne. Watch Brezhnev in this. It's 19 seconds long, but watch Brezhnev. Watch what he does when given the champagne and Nixon given the champagne. And tell me, just tell me what you see here. And again, we'll play this while we're waiting for questions, but this is cut one.
I'm surprised you didn't switch glasses.
I was going to say, folks, do you see what was going on there?
It was almost like the old Three Stooges ones where they got the glasses sitting there and they're going, hey, look at that painting on the wall. They're switching the glasses. He wasn't about to drink from that, was he?
No, and I'm going to wait until Nixon takes it. It's almost comical, but I'm not going to drink this until you know it's from the same bottle. So
the crowd was picking up on it. That's what was funny is the crowd picked right up on it.
Exactly.
That was good. That was a classic, Doug.
So that's kind of still what's going on in my view. But okay, so from the chat, let me see what we got here. Let's see here. Knowing I'm 10 seconds behind, and I apologize. Let me see. Why do you think This is kind of a good question from Birdman 73. Why are we taking so much crap not standing up for things like our forefathers did? I'm not sure if that's really directly related to what we're talking about, but RT, why aren't we in the streets saying, you know, we're not going to put up with this crap anymore? What are your thoughts on this?
That's a good question. When you don't want to go out and stand in the street alone. You know, that's, I was absolutely convinced, and I'm still convinced, that had they cheated on election night, there would have been violence in the streets in America, and I think they knew that. I really think that the whole deal would have come apart. That election was the first time that I saw an election that reminded me of elections when I was a kid, where, you know, before midnight they knew who the winner was. Not like that shit show, you know, back in 2020, you know, where they were still counting stuff, you know, weeks later.
Right.
You know what I mean? An interesting thing was just witnessing the recent Canadian election. The Canadians just went through what I firmly believe we went through in 2020. I believe that just happened to Canada.
I agree. Talking with somebody up there.
Yeah. And I will tell you, from living in Canada and bouncing back and forth, and I know tons of Canadian people, and everyone I spoke to prior to that election hated Trudeau, hated the Liberals. I mean, talking about people at the store, people where you buy your coffee, people where you buy your sandwiches, everywhere, the grocery store, standing in line, just sitting in the waiting room at a doctor's office. Okay. I talk to a lot of people. I'm the guy in the room that talks. I don't sit there when everybody's really quiet. I get people talking. I'm the guy that talks in the elevator. Okay. That's me. It will always be that way. Makes my daughter crazy. She hates it, but I do it. Everybody hated Trudeau. Everybody.
Yeah.
And then he takes the election like that? No.
Well, again, like Biden, you know, the 81 million votes. Come on.
Thank you. Thank
Come
you.
On, man.
And once again, this time the Canadians were ready. They have tons of video evidence, bags and bags and boxes of ballots being removed from the building, and them going up and questioning poll workers. And they're like, oh, you need to go talk to somebody. And it's bags of ballots, places where they wanted to, people were going and vote and they wanted to use a pen, insisted they used a pencil. Remember, they still hand count in Canada, then they feed it into the computer. But they still hand count. Then, after they stole the election that night, they still needed a majority in Parliament. So what are they doing? They were having recounts. And you had Liberal parties in ridings, which is like districts, winning by one. Yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah. No.
So anyway, we just saw, and I don't know what's going on with Carney. I really don't. I don't know if he's going to sell him out and make it the 51st state. If England, I watched the throne speech with that King Charles. Was why the king had to come and give a throne speech in Canada? I think Trudeau screwed everything up so bad the last 10 years that the king had to come and say something. Okay.
Interesting. Yes.
There's a, you know, like, and he gave a mandate to Carney. This is what you're doing. And it wasn't too different from the conservative platform. The only thing that really still bothered me is they were talking about an immigration letting up to 5% of the population come in immigration numbers. So in a country of 35 million people, that works out to about 1.6 million immigrants coming in. And he even said these are from horrible countries. Yeah, great. Thanks for dropping them in Canada. These people come in, there's no value on human life. They don't understand what personal property is, because in their country, they want it, they just take it.
Exactly. It's happening here. But when you're talking about 35 million versus 300 and some million, that percentage is a lot worse, even if it's a smaller amount.
The ratio is still so high.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure, the problem with Canada is the infrastructure is not there. The infrastructure isn't there for what is there now. And now you're talking about bringing more people in. Interestingly enough, in the UK, they're talking about
shutting immigration down. I guess they've got their fill of Muslims now. Yeah, I don't know. But every major city in the UK, and ladies and gentlemen, don't just believe what I'm telling you. Do some research. Has got a Muslim mayor.
Man,
it's insane.
I've never seen a Western civilization so impacted by that Islamic component than Canada.
It's like it's like an outpost for Mecca.
100%.
It's not. It's Fort Islam now. It's good. And they're just raping the women at will. It's like in Ireland. Yeah. The Irish people are revolting right now as we speak. They are revolting. But they're tired, sick and tired of these people coming in, just grabbing their white women and raping them, because in their country, that's what they do. And judges in all these countries, especially anywhere in the European Union, just kick these people loose and go, well, that's what they do in their country. You didn't expect them to know, did you? These judges need to be dragged out and hung.
In Canada, in the U.S., in really every Western country. And I think that the people are not going to put up with that crap. Especially at more of a local level, yes. Because a lot of things are happening, which is why, and I'm going to just throw this out there. You know, that Karen Reed trial in Massachusetts, people say, well, why the hell, you know, who gives a damn about that? When you watch, that gives you great insight into the corruption of the system. Mm-hmm. And it's like a master class in corruption. It just trust me on, well, don't trust me. Just watch it for yourself. Okay. Yes. A couple of questions here. About the interview, and this from Hope, Faith, Love, Truth. You know, about the interview, what do you think about possible AI altering any part of that interview? I don't see it.
Which interview?
The Patel, Bongino, Bartiromo.
I don't think that would be altered. It would be too easy to fact check that.
I agree with you on that.
They would be saying, hey, somebody's altered what we said.
All right. Rehoboth Farms, what is the Secret Service SOP regarding radios and local authorities? Doesn't the Sheriff Department handle that, assigned frequencies? In this case, just from what we've uncovered, the buck stops with the field agents in charge. At the end of the day, the person assigned tasks for that event, it's their responsibility to make sure that
they have to okay it.
Yes. Now, there's a lot of stuff that happens in that mix, but the buck stops with that, in this case, the Pittsburgh field office agent in charge, and that didn't happen.
Well, you're not talking where it pinged, are you?
No. We're talking about the Secret Service having one frequency.
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying you said the Pittsburgh field office.
I gotcha. Okay. No. Although the Pittsburgh field office is, shall I say, near and dear to our hearts. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
High on the list.
Yeah. Okay, an interesting one, too. And this keeps coming up. There was video of, I believe it was an HSI or, I'm not exact. Again, in my notes, which I don't have handy, that particular notebook, there was video after the event, after the shooting. And, you know, let's not forget, there were other casualties, including Corey Compitore, who was murdered. But after this happened, there was video of a member of HSI, if memory serves, because we've got thousands of pages. But anyway, seemingly pointing a weapon at the beast or the vehicle exfiltrating candidate Trump at the time. What about that? Okay.
Somebody finally brought that up. We had acknowledged that a long time in the very beginning. And then somebody I saw brought it up on social media and said, well, he was just sweeping the interior.
but they were making a big deal out of it because we had questioned that immediately.
Yes, but
literally the next day we were questioning that.
But I'll just say this, the bottom line, and then you can elaborate on this should you desire. We were able to identify pretty much everybody there in that, shall I say, frame.
Yep.
He was not pointing the weapon at the interior of the vehicle. He was pointing it, if you were to switch angles, the shot is deceiving, admittedly. It looks like he's pointing it at directly into the vehicle, but he is providing cover for the exfiltration of President Trump, and I guarantee you he was not pointing it into the vehicle, right. However it looks that way.
At a glance, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Because that subject came up right away.
Yeah, exactly.
And then later, I guess there was a big to-do about it, but it was a misnomer.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going through this. Okay. So I'm going through, and again, folks, we're taking questions real quick here for the next few minutes because Randy Taylor, it's so great to have you. It's always quick when you come on. Let me see here. I'm going through this. How involved are the local politicians with Butler? Silence is really loud. I'm going to let you address that first. Local politicians with J13.
That's not something we can say exactly. Because you're asking for a real specific there.
Yeah, that's what the question is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't really answer that question. As far as local politicians.
Yeah.
That we could say something and get slapped with a lawsuit tomorrow morning.
However, adjust that to local law enforcement. Then you're on that track, okay, on the proper track, in my view.
Right. I would say law enforcement more than politician.
Yes, yes.
That's where I'm going to go with that, because the law enforcement's operation on the ground, they were, you know what I mean, until as far as who spoke to who behind closed doors, I don't know. I don't really have any positive indicators on even that occurring at that level. But I will go as far as to say, and I'm sure Doug will agree with this. Well, I know he'll agree with it. Local law enforcement.
100% in agreement, Randy Taylor.
And I am not going to go any further than that that, because there's still a lot. This is still ongoing. Maybe the government closed theirs. We have not closed the case. And time will tell. This is not over. Yeah. This is not over, and we would be foolish to show our cards.
I'll toss this in there for operational, for your consideration, operational things. There is a building. I'm not going to name the building, but okay. There's a building there outside of the perimeter that played a very important role in all of this. When you start digging, going down that rabbit hole, there are some very interesting connections that you have to look at. Okay.
And you guys have to look at and listen, stop and think and look at where Crooks was.
Yes.
Okay. Please. If you don't get anything else out of Crooks that day, look at his position. There is no way that he could have mounted that position and worked himself into that position without assistance.
That's right.
My ass. There's no way. There's no way that kid just walked in, looked around, and go, hey, I'm going to go right there. There's a flaw in the security. No.
Not exactly.
No, and no again. Don't you remember that building was full of cops?
Well, was supposed to be, was, and then wasn't, and then was again.
Well, yeah, but for all intents and purposes, it was a law enforcement nest.
Yes. And do you know that the genesis of some of the escorts out of the county, and well, the originated from that parking lot, but I'll just stop there. Okay.
Well, that truth is going to come out one day, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's not a dead case with us. It's going to come out. The people, because I'll tell you right now, when we get one, the person, somebody's going to start talking.
Amen to that.
And damn it, we're going to trace it all the way back up the food chain, because I don't give a damn who they are and where they're hiding and how quiet they might be right today in politics. They knew about it.
Correct. Now, one last question that we have time for. Frog in a pot. Roger Stone said there was another guy who looked like Crooks, was Antifa, that was killed on the roof where Crooks was. What are your thoughts?